awkward moment where there was like literally maybe me and like one other person, or maybe two other people. No, it was one other person, and I'd mentioned something to them, and they were kind of like working, like they were doing something silently. For some reason, popped into my head the bit where Alan Partridge falls off his sofa and he just gets up going, ha ha ha, you've got to laugh when you fall off a sofa, bloody sofa. And I just started like smirking to myself, but I couldn't be like, no, it's quite all right, I'm not laughing at you. A bit of Alan Partridge from 20 years ago has popped into my head. So...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast.
Sappening!
Sappening!
You're listening to episode 21 somehow.
21.
Sappening Podcast with Sean Smith. That's me. Oh, no, I've done you a line. And my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, yes, it's the M.H. Richards.
Oh, my God. Well, this is going to be the last Sappening Podcast, I think, now.
You stole my line, so yeah, I was trying to steal yours. Yeah. But then I realised...
Yes, yes, this is a fucking mess. You should have gone with. Anyway, yes, you're listening to episode 21 of Sappening Podcast. And we are over the moon that you're here now listening to this. Please share, rate, and subscribe where possible. If you can retweet any of our stuff, that would be brilliant. Also, share on Instagram stories and stuff.
We do. We love all that Instagram stories and retweets. Makes us happy.
If you want to get in touch with us at Twitter or Instagram, go to @sappeningpod, SAPPENINPOD, on Instagram and the... not the Facebooks. The Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, those ones.
Yeah.
But episode 21.
Episode 21. Special guest. Very special guest.
Very special guest.
Oh, if you look at all the graphics, everyone's been a very special guest so far.
Yes, but this guest has been requested quite a bit since we've started.
Has he?
Yes.
Oh, we got Charlie Simpson on again.
No, not again, but the other one.
The other one?
Yeah. You used to...
Bart Simpson. Sorry.
Ay, caramba.
Yeah. Yeah, we got James Richard Davis. Formerly of the Blackout, currently of Raiders fame.
Or as everyone else knows him as, Bob.
Very, very angry Bob.
Well, I like to call him James the Fury Bob
nice.
Davis.
Yeah, he's in my phone as Bob the Fury.
Oh,
well, yeah, he's on because... Why is he on, Morg?
Because there's two worlds of yours coming together at once.
Yes.
Your new band Raiders.
Yes.
Today... have just put out your first song.
Yes.
An actual piece of music.
Yeah. For a while, we thought putting out music is for losers who want to get ripped off by people. And then we thought, oh, no, we need songs to play stuff, festivals and that. So probably best we put a song out. So.
Well, I like how you were trying to be trendy of being a band with no songs out. Yeah. That's original. Fair play.
Very original.
Hats off to you guys.
Yeah.
Trying to, do the music thing with no songs. But I can see why you've decided to...
Yeah, it's in our best interest,
yeah,
I think.
Probably.
But, yeah, it was great having Bob on. He was very, very funny. He has a fantastic rant about dogs later on that I've used myself in conversation with other people. So thanks for that, James. I know right, you know when I do that joke, I say they listen every week?
Bob genuinely does
listen every week. He messages me critiques and... stuff every week.
Yeah, because apparently, especially when you're talking about the Blackout, apparently you get dates and stuff little bit wrong.
I'm a fucker for a date. I've slept since mine, so...
So,
all these things, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, combining your two worlds together.
Song's out. The song's called Wasting Away. I'm sure We go into all this in the interview, I'm sure.
Yeah, but of course, Bob and yourself are really going to give us all the secrets and surprises and lowdown of Raiders and everything else in between.
Oh, nice. We're going to try. It's a funny conversation, so yeah, definitely check it out.
Okay. Oh, I will do.
Well, yeah, I know you. You have checked it. Yeah, you were there.
I'm part of it.
I know.
Yeah.
What now?
We could do news or stuff, but it depends what you're feeling.
Yeah, let's do some news. You've been away.
I'm back. That's the big news.
Yeah.
Even though I've still been on the podcast since I've been away, so people don't know what's going on.
No.
How was it? Oh, I've just come back from New York City.
Bloody hell.
The Big Apple.
Nice. See any big apples?
No. A lot of buildings.
Buildings should be called, shouldn't they?
It should really, yeah. I think that's why it's called Empire State of Mind, though.
Have you ever been to Old York in the UK?
No.
It's nothing like New York.
Is it really?
They have modelled New York on Old York in the slightest.
I thought it was just an updated version.
Nah, it's completely different. Anyway, what did you go out there for?
WrestleMania.
Ooh, I like that. I watched that on the telly.
Yeah, I went to cover it and do a lot of journalistic things out there and talk to some lovely wrestlers and see some graps and shows. And yeah, it was great, great few days out there.
Nice. And you managed to get some wrestlers to mention our podcast as well.
I did. Well, before I went, you told me that I have to go searching for wrestlers to say Sapnin.
Yes, I did.
And we had the wonderful Matt Hardy.
Wonderful.
That's what he says.
No, I know.
Oh, yeah. Matt Hardy.
No, I was agreeing.
Oh, okay.
Just because I didn't do it in a funny voice doesn't mean I'm not alive. He is wonderful. He seems wonderful.
Yeah, well, he did a good Sapnin for us, and that's on our Twitter and Instagram. And
who else?
And I also spoke to your new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, the Iconics, Peyton Royce and Billy Kay, got them to give us a little Sapnin as well, and they won their titles just after I talked to them.
So you know what that means.
You've obviously influenced them into winning.
They had a chat with me, and straight after that, they were so motivated that they won the tag team
titles.
They
went off. What actually happened was they looked into your face and was like, oh, we're going to do this for him, this fella here. They went then, listened to the Sapnin podcast, previous episodes, got so fired up by the laughs and the good times in the other episodes.
And the mention of Australia, because they are
Australian.
The constant
mention of Australia. I hadn't done it so far, but now you've done it. So it was going to happen at some point, so it's glad it's happened there. And then they went on to win the Women's Tag Team Championship. So well done to the girls.
Yes, and well done to me for inspiring them to win the titles.
Your ego is getting out of control. Jesus Christ. Guess what, guys? Morgan has been to New York and he's got a podcast. That's the end, guys. He's going to turn up here in cocaine and start slapping me about. Turn up here in cocaine? That's how rich he is. He can afford just to travel in a bowl of cocaine.
That's not going to happen anytime soon. I can guarantee you that.
It's slowly happening. I'm seeing it every week.
Well, there's a gap between you and me here.
I know.
So that's from my ego, that is.
Yeah. That's from you, us. Yeah. Because you said, oh, we can't sit facing each other. So now we've got to sit opposite each other and look at the wall while we do these, which is fun. Anyway, tell us more about New York. Tell the people at home how professional a journalist you are. Tell them what happened when you went to go see NXT.
I told you this in confidence, Sean. I don't think you'd bring this up.
Bro, we do a podcast together.
Okay, so basically, let me just run down my week, okay? I had a really, really busy week out there. Absolutely loved it. Got to speak with loads of WWE wrestlers. Got them to say Sapnin. Got a couple of clips I would like to put on the podcast in the future.
Oh, yeah.
So if there's any wrestling fans or if you'd like to hear a little bit of WWE superstars on here, maybe next week or something, let us know.
Ooh, I'd like that, but
because I've got a couple of interesting things.
Please let us know. Get in touch on socials.
So, yeah, the long 9-hour flight to get there. So rested that night. The next day, I had a great day, went and explored, went to see the New York Yankees. Yankee Stadium is outstanding.
Is it?
I just fell in love with their stadium. It's out of this world. It's mad. And then I went to see the Brooklyn Nets play.
Ooh, JZ's team.
Yes. Play basketball against the Toronto Raptors.
Ooh.
So that's solid day.
A lot of hip hop people there. I feel like it would have been a lot of hip hop people.
Yeah, it was that kind of,
Brooklyn Nets and Toronto Raptors are, Oh, tidy, nice. Go on. We haven't got to the bit yet.
Right, so basically, this is what Sean was trying to say. On the Thursday, I had a long day doing some work. Had to travel to New Jersey late in the night to go and watch Impact Wrestling, formerly known as TNA, and cover some of that.
Nice. Speak Did you meet Rob Van Dam?
No, I met Tessa Blanchard.
It's not good enough. Carry on.
No. I saw Rob Van Dam through a curtain eating a pizza.
You get all the gossip here on Sappening Podcast, all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Exactly.
Rob Van Dam eats pizza.
Yeah.
Well, I did.
Backstage. With Sabu. That's not even a joke. He literally did. So I didn't get back to Brooklyn where I was staying until very, very late. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, yeah. Right there time. I then had to get up and be in Times Square on the Friday morning for 6 o'clock. So I had about half an hour sleep so I could get ready and stuff again. Made it to Times Square, even put a post up on the Sappening Instagram account with me being there and all that kind of stuff, right? So I had a really long day of interviewing WWE wrestlers. Went to a Connor's Cure charity event they put on as well. Spoke to people like Roman Reigns, Alexa Bliss,
nice.
Matt Hardy.
Good. Nice.
And then NXT TakeOver.
NXT, some of the best wrestling in the world, you mean?
Some of the best wrestling in the world, yes, including the likes of Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano and Shayna Baszler. Yeah.
Ricochet.
Yeah. They had a show on that I was invited
to. Only the biggest of the year, wasn't it?
Biggest of the year that I was invited to go and see.
You were invited to?
Invited.
You didn't buy the tickets, you were invited by WWE to go there.
To see in the evening. So
all right, and what happened, Mo?
Well, as I was trying to say, I finished in Times Square with WWE at about 4 o'clock. I thought, right, I'll go back to the hotel, I'll just relax for an hour, get changed, and then I'll go to the NXT.
Yep.
That didn't happen.
What happened, Morg?
I fell asleep.
Oh, Morgan.
Woke up, realized the time.
What was the time when you woke up?
Like 9 o'clock. Oh. So it was halfway through. Yeah, and by the time I really got to the venue...
So your little 20-minute nap has turned into a good 5-hour kip.
Yeah.
Oh, gutted. And you missed NXT.
I missed NXT completely. Woke up in a rage fury against myself. Couldn't believe what I had just done. I was so annoyed.
Were you staying up high? Like, where were you staying?
Oh, no, second floor.
Oh, good. It wasn't that bad then.
No, it wasn't that bad.
All right, good.
But I was so annoyed myself that I'd missed this great wrestling show that I decided to go out and found Dolph Ziggler doing comedy that night.
Was that any good?
It was quite funny, to be fair. Tommy Dreamer turned up as a surprise and did a set.
Nice.
Took his shirt off.
All right.
And... he's been through some stuff. Anyway.
Did you see any bands?
I did. I completely missed this. On the Tuesday I got there, I went to see Monster Truck, who are a Canadian old school rock band, playing a famous bar in Brooklyn.
Sounds like one of Paul Hirschfield's type bands.
He'd probably enjoy them.
That's a Patreon, by the way.
Patreon, so I went to see them. Dolph Ziggler was very funny. But yeah, I was really upset with myself that I missed...
I was upset with you as well when I found out. I was upset for you as well because you missed a hell of a show because I watched it as well.
Well, the thing is then, I had to find out all the results because of other work and the other shows I was going to. And everyone was just going, oh, did you see the NXT show?
No,
I didn't.
No, I was sleeping. I was looking at the inside of my eyelids, but...
That's probably my biggest regret.
But all other than that, you had a great time.
I had a great time. WrestleMania itself... was Things of Dreams.
Excellent.
I did a thing online of looking at my view from the press box, which was outstanding. You don't know all this. So basically, they gave a press a load of free goodie bags.
Oh.
So I was like, what's this? Opened it up. Proper WrestleMania like rucksack bag. I was like, oh, this is nice. Opened it up. Free WrestleMania t-shirt and free WrestleMania cap, wasn't it?
Nice.
Outstanding.
So
then, straight after that...
Are you about to present me with these things?
No, they're mine. Straight after that, former Sappening Podcast guest Mark Andrews...
Oh, nice.
...gave me a Sappening.
Tidy.
And was all suited and booted. He looked very the part, very nice. Dapper. Very the
Been
part.
Court in New York.
When we had a lovely, lovely chat. And then Travis Banks came over and introduced himself... which was nice. And I went down to my seat and had the best night probably ever watching WrestleMania 35 and Becky Lynch and Kofi Kingston winning those titles.
That was awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm glad you had a good time. I was super jealous when I saw all of your photos. And yeah, good. I'm glad you had a good time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And yeah, but if anyone wants to hear any of those little clips and stuff I've got with some of the superstars from WWE during WrestleMania weekend,
let us know.
Let us know. At touch Sapnin, on the socials. At Sapnin Pod on Twitter, at Sapnin Pod on Instagram. And yeah, maybe next week we can put a little bit more in. I can tell you a bit more about my trip.
Right. Nice. Nice. What happens if loads of people get in touch with us and say they don't want to hear about it, though?
I'd be very upset, and that would just hurt my ego even more. And I'm sorry that I've talked so long. I've just realized that I've gone on a little bit.
Oh, it was a good 7 minutes of wrestling talk. So if you've got through this, fair play to you.
Fair play.
But next up is James Richard Davis.
He is. But before we go into him,
Jesus Christ, we've got to go back again.
I just want to say, if you'd like to support the podcast in any way,
nice.
patreon.com/Sapnin is a great place you can go and do that. Nice. Isn't it, Sean?
It is. Very much indeed. We've got basically different tiers that you can purchase and get involved and help us make the show bigger and better than ever before. Again, that's patreon.com/Sapnin. And yeah, you can pay as little as $3 to $50,000, was it? The maddest one?
I think it might be $10,000.
Is it? Oh, that's a shame.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, check it out. Become part of the Sapnin community on Patreon. And then, yeah, you get a link to our group, and then we all get chatting, and you get to see all of the funny people, all of the hilarious community patrons that have joined so far, mainly slagging me off.
Yeah, mainly, and all talking about some crazy things. I really enjoy it.
Yep,
I've had a great look through it since I've been back and trying to get over my jet lag.
Nice.
And one really touching thing was people have made lifelong friends.
Yes, Justine and Janelle met up at the Bring Me Horizon, Frank Carter,
Yumi at Six,
Trophy Eyes. Anybody else?
No, I think.
Tour in Australia. And they sent us a video, and it's lovely. It's just nice to see. It's a community. We've got a community of people who listen to this.
That's mad. Yeah, but they've
become trademark Sean Smith.
They became friends just by being on the Patreon group and talking to each other on that. Solely because you've been listening to the podcast
together since 2018.
So if you would like some new friends, patreon.com/Sapnin. And yeah, as Sean said, it's a great place to help us out and get some nice rewards and different tiers and exclusives in return for your support as well.
Cool. Also, if you don't fancy that, we've got t-shirts for sale. They are literally going off sale Saturday the 20th of April at 6 p.m. GMT, Greenwich Mean Time. So get your orders in now. Go to sapnin-podcast.myshopify.com or check out our socials, because I'm sure there'll be a link on there somewhere with a photo of the t-shirts as well. So.
Yeah, or if you're in a blind rush because you're freaking out because you've only got so much time left to get a shirt, just tweet us as well, and we'll send you the link.
Yeah, if you need to know any links for anything, tweet at us and we will genuinely just send them to you.
Yeah, we will, to be fair.
I think we should stop waffling on and let these good people listen to Bob.
Do you know what? All this rambling's probably made James Bob the Fury Davis very angry.
Oh, it would have, yeah.
So let's get him on now before he gets even angrier.
Here we go. James Richard Davis, Bob activated. Sapnin!
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's happening?
What is happening?
First one to dissect it and ruin it.
Well, I'm posh, and I.
You are posh. You're not as posh as Charlie Simpson, I don't think.
No. Well, I'm not posh.
Yeah, that's true. But you just said I'm posh, so yeah. What is happening? Yeah, it's happening. Our guest this week is James Richard Davis, also known as Bob for some reason. We'll go into that as well, I guess.
I guess we will.
Hello. Well, I'll start there. Hiya, how are you?
So, I'm all right.
How did Bob come about?
Right, okay, so this is, bearing in mind, where are we now? We're 2019, so this goes back to like 1998 or 9.
Nobody was alive.
No, exactly. Okay, picture the scene. 'Twas a dark night. I'd moved schools, right, when I was like 16, and I was in the sixth form, and I'd been there, I don't know, however many months or whatever, and I knew people, but I hadn't socialized that much with people. Like, hadn't gone out or whatever. So we went out for a night out where a band was playing. So bear in mind, we were in a loud pub where a band was playing as well, and I just sat there, and like everybody else was in their own little blocks or whatever, so I just kind of went, okay, fine. And obviously I hadn't said that much. So the next day, a mate of mine, or mate of ours, Adrian Price, there you go, said, "You came," like, accusing me, like, sort of walked in and went, "You came out last night, you didn't say a word. I'm going to start calling you Silent Bob, a la Silent Bob and, you know, Jane Silent Bob, Kevin Smith films." And I went, "Okay, then." And now it's 2019.
Nice.
So that got, like, the amount of times that's been, like, used in, like, people from record labels have called me it, you know, like, you've had to have explained to solicitors, it's like, and this is Bob. No, not Bob. Nothing to do with Bob.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with
nothing.
Bob.
Nothing. Not a Robert in sight.
And to the point where I went on my mate Stag Do, and some, you know, they'd got hilarious T-shirts with various people's names on the back of it, and I had, on the back of my shirt, Bob Evans, which is no part of any of my name.
No.
In any way.
It's not Evans. How did they think, where did Evans come from?
Well, why not they? I guess it's a bit of a, it's just like,
what? Well, I know he's got one of them surnames, Smith or
exactly.
Davis.
How
or
many
Jones.
Surnames are there in Wales? Let's pick one of them.
Nah, it's got to be one of them. Yeah. Evans. Bob Evans.
I'll do.
Neither of his names.
Swing and a miss.
That's good, though, because, most of those names on the back are not really representative of the people.
That's
normally,
true.
Normally,
so, yeah.
Rude names, innit?
Exactly. So I was absolved from any blame that might have been, anything I'd done.
Look less like a pervert, because most of those shirts make people look like
perverts. Well, it did have a naked bloke with a chainsaw in the front of it, which is somewhat undermined.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I know.
That'll do it.
But then, if anyone called me on it, it'd be like, whoa, this is Bob Evans' shirt. It's nothing to do with me. My scar there, so.
Nice. So, what's news, James? What have you been up to since the blackout?
What have I been up to? So, a lot of things that haven't been as much fun as the blackout.
Okay.
That's a short version, which probably isn't enough for a podcast, I'd imagine. So I might want to...
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to add at least one or two of the items.
Mm. Okay, so this links into what we'll talk about, I guess, with the new band.
Yes.
Is that, look at that segue. When I finished, when the blackout was, like, you know, decided upon, as we all know, it was done, you know, many months ahead of time.
Yes.
So there was a little bit of a, and obviously that whole idea had been like stewing in our minds in some like factor or another, like where the future was going to be. That had been like rattling around for a long time. So I'd already started thinking, if and when this band ever finishes and whatever happens, then what am I going to do with myself? And so I went through a couple of ideas of what I'd possibly do. And then I chanced upon the idea. I've always been into cars since I was a kid.
Nice.
And so in a kind of stupid binary way, I went, oh, well, I'll just sell cars then. How bad can it be? Turns out, fucking awful. And so when the final tour was happening, I'd been working in a place for like, I don't know, a month or whatever, which was like, but you kind of like getting that sort of feeling of like, oh, okay, well, it's a new place. I'll probably acclimatize to it. What I realized was that in that first month, I still had that last tour as like a kind of beacon of, oh, that's still there. I'm still that person. There's still something to kind of hold on to. Coming back from that week, which was obviously emotionally pretty hard work anyway, just to kind of reconcile all that kind of stuff. And I got back to that job, and I was just like, I can't fucking do this. Yeah. This is horrible. Partly because it's just, it's like sales shit is just horrible. It's just like, oh, look, there's an old woman, Les Fleeter, you know, and it's just like, I just couldn't do it. So then did that, did some other stuff, bits and bobs, rattling around, and I'm currently in the university again.
I think we've previously mentioned this.
Yeah, we have, yeah. That's come up in a couple of episodes.
Yeah, so I'm doing a PhD on telly. That's the short version of it. Stop me there, because I will drone on about it otherwise.
Yeah, I remember you telling me the full title, and I'm sure it had like social and numbers in it somewhere, and that's when both of those words confused me, so I was like, I don't know what the full sentence is that he's doing for a degree.
Blah, 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 blah.
Social plus 70% is numbers.
So that's where I am now. And halfway through it is about
that. Oh, so no new music or new band or anything then?
Yeah, well, I thought we would get onto that as a more bespoke topic.
I thought you could have gone, oh, well, since then as well.
No, that's it. Goodbye. Yeah. And I just walked away.
Well, that was James Davis. Well,
yeah, that was a quick catch-up.
That was episode 21 of Sapling Podcast.
Mad.
Yeah. Fair point.
Yeah.
All right. Shall I talk about the fucking band, shall I?
Please.
Fucking dick. Okay. So, I done started a band.
Oh, nice.
Not long after. I started writing stuff like, well, like, actually, there's an anecdote about this.
Yeah.
You like anecdotes over
here? Yeah, best
ad. Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Here it comes then. Engage anecdote machine.
On.
So, not long after we finished with the Blackout, I was sitting about, and as you do, if you're a guitarist or a songwriter or whatever in a band, I was tinkering about on a guitar, minding my own business. And I came up with an idea that was like, you know, it was a cool little like melodic like lead light thing, and I was like, oh, that's cool. And then it suddenly hit me,
like, I haven't got a band.
Literally like that. I went, oh, I could use that for fuck.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was such a stinking feeling of like, oh, I've just been creative and now in the bin.
Yeah.
Like, just turn it off. And that was one of the big things that I think coming out of the Blackout, I was thinking about all of that sort of stuff, thinking that I would just be able to like turn off that like element of my personality. Be like, oh yeah, it'll be fine. I'll just be an adult and do all the regular adult stuff, and it's fine. And forget the fact that you was, you know, able to like spend 10 years as some sort of stupid infant doing silly stuff. So in doing that, then that was like one of those kind of like moments where I was like, right, fuck, I gotta find some other outlet to do.
Did you have a period in between the band ending and that point where you just didn't touch a guitar or anything, or...
Yes, I did. Ever? I did. It was... It's funny, actually, so I noticed this week, I think, that Ryan from Yellow Card,
nice,
he tweeted that it's like the first time he's picked up a guitar, and it's like taken him like over two years to do it. And, I mean, it was nowhere near that long for me, but I can understand that sort of... You don't really 100% understand the kind of relationship you've got with what you do there.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just like someone's like, oh, just pick it up, play it.
Hmm.
It's like, the last time I put it down as part of the Blackout, I was like, well, that's such a, what do I do now? Like, it's not, I can't just pick it up and do the same old thing again. I'm not going to play those songs again, because that's going to be, feel horrible to do.
Yeah.
And then, so yeah, it was probably, it was weeks or months, I think.
Okay.
But I did have that period. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But then in doing it, because... It's funny that the piece that I like, that the thing that I came up with, I haven't used since, but it was just that like catalytic sort of like moment. Is that a word? Might not be. That moment that like forced me to start.
Sorry, I was looking up. I was looking
yeah,
up
you can't tell. Thing. You've got all your words on the ceiling, have you?
Yeah, just, they're all up there. Oh, there it is.
I got a thesaurus up there.
It's
in case
by the aircon. On the top of the aircon there, it says catalytic.
So like, I can use it to look thoughtful, but what I'm actually doing is going,
oh, yeah. What the temperature is.
So yeah, that was the catalyst to make me think I need to do something. So I started writing some songs, started writing some stuff, and I had it in my mind at the time, not through anything else other than it's just something that I'd like to try, that I wanted to be the only guitarist. not out of like anything. It's just like, you know, we'd spent 10 years being a band with two guitarists and like two vocalists. So it was just initially this idea of like, oh, maybe I can do it where I can approach the guitar and like write indifferently because I can do it like this. And then once I'd done that a couple of times, I spoke to you about it.
Haha, me. Not Morgan, me.
I know.
Well, yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised I never got asked to front Raiders. Yeah,
I don't think anybody else is.
You were the first 30 people I thought of.
Okay.
I was 31. I was number 31.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah, take it.
Yeah.
Don't have to.
I don't know what I'll do with it.
Yeah, exactly. Just
but, don't ever tell it.
Yeah, you don't have to take it. You don't have to believe it.
Oh, I'll just do what I want with it. I don't know what I'll do.
Just don't mention it to me again.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so you got in touch with me. I was raring.
Yeah, you were well up.
Yeah. I was bang up for it.
Yeah. Hey Sean, would you like to be in it? Yes.
Excellent. I haven't finished our sentence.
And now I've got your power of attorney. Ha ha.
Would you like to be in jail for the rest of your life? That's what I was gonna say. Ha ha ha.
No, because I'm hatching a plan. And then we got our good friend Christopher Sticks Davis to play the drums.
Sticks.
And so began a 450,000-year search for a bassist.
Yeah, because we had two or three people say they were going to be bassists for us. We give them 2 weeks to learn the songs, and then the day before practice, they just so happened they couldn't do it.
Damn bassists.
Bassists, like, it's not even...
We should have called ourselves Damn Bassists.
Well, that's a good name for a punk band, really.
With no bassist. Yeah.
With no bassist.
You'd have to have no bassist to have the band Damn Bassists. Mm.
Or the all bassists. There's no drummers or anything.
You could call the White Stripes Damn Bassists, couldn't you?
Yeah.
They would have been the first one. Slaves got a bassist? They haven't, have they?
If you're anti-bassist, are you bassist?
You are bassist, yeah.
B-A-C-I-S-T.
Bassist.
He's bassist, man. He hates bass. People play
bass. This bassism's getting out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we finally got Ryan in to... play the bass. One of Sticks is.
And does he slap it yet? I don't know.
I don't think he'd really slap at a bass.
He hasn't slap at a
bass.
He's
more of a fingerer of the bass.
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't pick it then.
No.
No, he doesn't. He's using his fingers.
Oh.
Big fan of the old twiddler. He's a twiddler.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah. Good on him.
You can't see this because it's on mics. You can't see it, but I did walking fingers mime to Morgan.
That's why I laughed. I broke silence.
You did, yeah. Well, that's why I had to pull a veil back in, didn't I?
Yeah, and that's why I had to say that bit that you pulled
the veil. Yeah, exactly. So we'll just do this for an hour.
Going from, you know, the blackout to Raiders, it was just a natural thing that you wanted to not stop doing music, even if it was just for you and Sean and the rest of the guys to have some form of platform to express yourselves for a bit?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, because you never really set out with what you know, the end result of it is never like planned out. It's not like we ever started the blackout with the exact end goal of what the blackout became. Like, it started as a laugh and then it turned into something that was like unbelievable. And then with that, alongside that came all the kind of business things and the fact that it was like a life and a career, which kind of get piled up on top of everything. I've started Raiders with basically exactly the same thing that got me to join the blackout in the first place, which was to, you know, have fun, play some music. And I didn't realize how much I would miss playing on stage when the blackout finished. I mean, you can find photos of me looking like a right tit in the last show. Because I was having a proper ball.
I think everybody apart from Matthew was crying their eyes out. And Matthew was like, yeah, I get to heal my broken arm now.
Oh, he had a broken arm.
He did the last tour with a broken arm.
He did, didn't he? Yeah.
But he's like, boys, bad news. What is it, Matt? Photo of him with his arm in a cast. Like, that is bad news, isn't it? That's one of the worst things you can do as a man who predominantly uses his arms.
Yeah.
Coming up to a
tour that people from far away have already bought tickets to.
But we got through it, I guess.
Yeah.
Just about.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I completely forgot he played that entire tour.
Yeah, and if you have a look at that photo, there's like five of us crying. They're from the last ever show in Merthyr Tydfil. There's five of us crying. And Matthew just, hey, look at this, I can go and be a pilot now and actually earn money.
It's on the morphine, that is, probably. still on it.
Hey.
This is a wonderful evening.
This is the best first gig we've ever done.
What? Other end, Math. What do you mean other end? So I can't remember what you asked me, but I think I answered it.
Yeah. I think you did as well, to be fair.
None of us were listening.
So it's today then, I guess, that
today,
we've released a song.
We have finally released a song that we've been threatening slash promising, depending on whether you want to hear it or not.
Yeah, because Raiders have done a few gigs up and about, not anything too big, a couple of support slots and secret gigs in Wales, really.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, we've been finding our feet, I guess. We've practiced a long time, basically, we were waiting for a bassist for a long time, which has started with a lot of all that kind of stuff. And then it got to the point where about two-thirds of the way through last year, I was like, if we don't play a show this year, I'm going to be pissed. Because... Like, it was like the year before.
Oh, it was taking forever, wasn't it?
It was absurd. And so we eventually ended up just doing a show in the place where we practice. There's like a stage, basically, in a vocal PA. So it was somewhere to just make sure that we'd been playing in a circle for like 8 months, just to check we could all face in the same direction and do it like a proper band. Otherwise, we'd look like early Rage Against the Machine, where they all like played in a circle or whatever. Yeah. Or they had the drummer who couldn't face the stage. So we did that. And then we've had a couple of inverted commas proper gigs since then. So we've played in Bridgewater in Somerset, which was a good little show, with Virgin Mary's.
The Cobblestones,
yes.
With Florence Black.
And Florence Black.
And Nova Mora.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's right. And they were all cool and
tidy.
Good bands. And then we played in Cardiff with...
The Globe. With War, very good band.
Wars.
Area 11,
yes.
Misery Kids, who
not,
were the least
not miserable,
miserable
not
band.
Kids. Yeah. Trading Standards, you could take out the Trading Standards. Yeah.
Get them locked up.
Yeah, absolutely. None of these things are exhibited
happiest
here.
Happiest chaps, that's what they should be called. Because the music
happy
is
adults.
Happy.
Yeah, happy adults. And another
by the time it's come.
What was the band called? What was the other band called? Damn, I can't remember.
A Night Like This.
Thank you.
Yeah, Sean's back on the game.
You're back on the game.
Oh, shit, I've admitted that.
You kept quiet about that.
No. But I am up for that, though, if anybody's listening.
That's fair enough. That could be a Patreon
and
thing, maybe.
Has got enough money that wants to have sex with me for cash.
Yeah.
Sex
work, like.
I can't was going to say anything. Yeah, sex work. And, oh, yeah, by now, though, by the time this is out, we also have played the sold-out show with Continents in Cardiff as well, I believe.
We will have done.
But yeah, tell us about new music then. First track.
Yeah, to explain why we did it and yeah, what's happened.
Okay, so we have got a song, what is out now, what is called Wasting Away. And it is our first, I suppose you can call it a single?
Yeah, first song.
It's just a song,
it's a taster of what's
to come. It's a taster,
come.
Exactly. I think the way forward with all this kind of stuff is to just release it as and it comes, which you've had conversations with a few band about this.
Well, probably every week that's come up, really.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, then that's... Yeah, it makes sense, I guess. It, like... Sorry, I started dismissing. I was like, well, yeah, obviously. It's good that it's something that seems to be coming up across the board, like that everyone's kind of seeing the same thing happening at the same time, which suggests that it is probably the way that makes the most sense. So this song is called Wasting... I sound like a DJ. This song is called Wasting Away. Song's called Wasting Away. It is... Where does it sit in our... Like, it's not the heaviest and it's not the lightest.
Yeah.
It's slap bang in the middle.
Yeah, it was somewhere in between, really.
Well, currently now it's both because you've only got one song out. So it's the heaviest stuff you've ever released as Raiders and the softest stuff you've ever released.
Yeah, that's technically, but we have got like seven other songs.
Yeah,
as well,
right or so. Smart ass.
Oh, I'm glad a guest has come in and has got disdain for Morgan. It's not
you need scorn. I got too much scorn. It is... Originally, it was designed for us to give to people to listen to find out what we sound like in the press, in the, you know, the wider music industry, and bum some shows, really, basically. Like,
yeah, and hopefully have it done in time to be chosen for festival periods.
Yeah, so events conspired. Unfortunately, that was not the case.
Yes.
It is what it is, but we were a little bit late to the dance on that for this year. That's not to say if some other people hear it and they are...
Yeah, we've sent it to a couple of people so far.
And we've had positive responses,
Everybody,
which is always
nice.
We
got the fact we've had any replies back was something.
That's true.
But the fact of all the replies have been really nice
is
very, very good.
Yeah, so it is now... And it was like a dual purpose thing. So it was like partly to give to people within the industry and to be like, hey, we sound like this. Would you like something that sounds like this? Because in fairness to all the gigs that we've been booked... They booked us like sight unseen. They were like, oh, that'll do. You know, they'll probably be all right. They've we'll proven have that. Yeah, exactly. Could sound like anything. I mean, we could.
Two of them have been in a band. Yeah. And that's it. Like,
yeah, it might have been clown jazz. Yeah. You know?
Clown could
have
been jazz.
Could have been the four of us just farting into mics. It could have been anything.
Yeah, concept album. The concept is farts. Farts in 5/4. It was just like, it was mental that people like, because we put a thing up just being like around Christmas time or just after Christmas saying, hey, if you want to book us for a show, we can. Thinking, well, we might get some response. We had a fair bit, in fairness.
Yeah.
Some of it more sensible than others.
Yes.
But it's still nice to get, you know, people going, that actually anyone still gives a fuck, you know, based on the fact that it might be, there might be potential in it based on the fact that we've proved that we can, you know, stand and face the right direction in the past. Because again, they got nothing to base it on other than the fact that we've done stuff before.
Yeah.
So that sort of show of faith is great. And then to get the kind of positive response that we've had from the people that have heard it so far, people who have been supportive to us in the past and have kind of stuck with it, that's nice to see as well. Because you always, the people that have always been good to us or were good to us in the Blackout were always amazing. Like, we had this like little core group of people who were just unbelievably loyal and supportive and stuck with us all the way through. So,
and that wasn't just fans either, that was just people in the industry.
Yeah, exactly. And we both groups on like both sides of that kind of coining it, and it was, that was always like really humbling, because from the fan point of view of it, obviously it was that's just, somebody wrote something on Twitter earlier or Facebook or something, and it broke my brain because it was so lovely.
Yeah, I saw one as well.
It's probably the same one. But that like element of it is like, sometimes it's like, obviously we were never the biggest band in the world, but we did seem to strike a chord with some people, and that was always really, really valuable. Even maybe like sometimes you didn't quite appreciate it as much as you could have done until like after the fact, and then like,
well, that's the thing. See, like I've spoken to other people about on you. To me, it's like the best description I've heard of it. Someone was describing it to me. It's like a roller coaster, right? So when you're on it, you're just going, "Way, this is mad," or whatever. Mm. And as soon as you get off, you're like, "I want to be back on that." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, whereas when we were on it, it was just such a blur, and it, like, I genuinely thought it would never end. Like, for me, I was going to be David Coverdale in pubs.
I have threatened that for you. That is your future.
Yeah, in pubs singing those songs forever. Like, I genuinely believed that up until it was mentioned that maybe we should split up. It's a
difficult one, because it's like, from my point of view, that we seem to be talking about the Blackout, yeah, but that's fine. We can dip back and forth, unless you want me to talk about Raiders
No, that's good. Let's talk about everything.
All right. So yeah. So it was all that decision thing. From my point of view, was always this horrible like head heart battle thing going on, where like my heart would have never stopped.
Yeah.
And then, but my head was just, it just got to that point where I had to be like realistic about it. I was like, look, we are where we are, we've done what we've done, it feels like it's sort of hit a thing and plateaued and maybe even is like on a little bit of a decline, and I have to be like, the rational part of me has to think about what I'm going to do. The ironic thing about all of that is that I'm, however many years later, I'm kind of back where I was anyway, and I haven't really made that much progress. I suppose I have done, but like, I still feel like I'm not quite, you know, like up and running with like some alternative thing to do. And maybe that informed the kind of decision to do Raiders as well. But it was always a really difficult decision to kind of reconcile, where you're just fighting against the two things.
Yeah.
And like the heart thing of it was always going to be, when the heart loses, it's always harder, I think. Like because as well, the brain is like, you know, the mind, the logical part of it is logical. So if that like loses, you get the logical reason as to why that loses. But like, if the heart loses out, that's all about the passion and the, but I want to do that. That's the thing. And like, so that can be really frustrating and heartbreaking. And
yeah, like I said in episode one, there was a bit of me that was like, because we announced we were splitting up, and then the EP was coming out.
The EP had been out, and the weird thing about it is like, so the EP had come out, and then we'd done the tour.
Yeah.
And so we did an initial conversation about the uncertainty of the future quite a bit before that, with that idea was sort of like, well, let's see what we're all thinking and see what we're all talking. And then we end up, so the part that you talked about on the first episode where we done the video for Wolves. That was like where we kind of revisited and we were like, right, where are we now?
Yeah.
And it was like, we're kind of in the same spot. And it's like, I understood, I always thought about that. Like, so we did the tour and the tour was good. And then we knew that we had like the announcement was like brewing as well. So you were seeing people and they were like, what's next then? And we were like, hey, look at that over there. What about that? A bus? Who'd have thought it in London at this time of day? Yeah.
Was there ever any point in you? Because I thought that when people hear Wolves now, even if we do the last tour, this might push it and Wolves might blow up. Because I thought Wolves was.
Yeah, so.
Us writing possibly at our best because we seemed to be at our best when we were desperate and miserable, I think.
That was a difficult one because Wolves is badass. I love Wolves.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really proud of it. I'm really, really happy with how it sounds, what it sounds like, what it does. Like, it was, and so yeah, I am a little bit conflicted about it because I feel like there probably was that as a starting point, probably would have been a little bit more of a kind of push for stuff than it had been. So I think again, that was the head heart thing. It was like I believed in Wolves, and in a way then I suppose I ended up with the idea that I was happy Wolves was like the last, you know, it was like I couldn't have gone out with something that I was more proud of than Wolves.
So in retrospect, you think on one aspect Wolves was the perfect last thing for the band to do, but as well it was kind of the right songs to come out at the wrong time. Maybe if you had that release a little bit before, things might have been a little bit different. Maybe?
Yeah, you're probably right with that. I think that's it's somewhere in there. You know, it's like a mix of one of those two. It's like you're either thinking about it in terms of it. If we'd managed to like find a way to continue, it might have been a springboard to like a second wind or something like that, or whatever you want to call it. I don't know, but like there was potential in that because it was a quality release, and I think not enough people got to hear it for a variety of reasons. You know, just it might even just have been like, the, you know, the, once a band's sort of like done, it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. And those people who are like more peripheral to it, they would have just thought.
But saying that, I was on Spotify the other day and it's like a second most listened to song, I think.
Oh, Wolves, the song.
Which is strange.
That is a bit surprising. It's good.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, it's pleasantly surprising, but I didn't.
It's over a million plays, I think. Once more.
No, I didn't know it had that kind of travel, which is cool, and it is a belter as well.
Oh yeah, that old EP. Please, if you're listening to this and you haven't heard the Wolves EP, please go and give it a listen because it is really good.
Let's get some cheeky PRS.
Give us 0.006 of a pence.
Yeah. Stick it on mute. Leave it on repeat all night if you want.
Yeah, and then do that with the podcast as well, please.
Yep. Do playlists.
No, carry on. No. You know, if you've only got room for one on, you know, if you've only got one device that you can use, then obviously put Wolves on repeat. Don't worry about the podcast so much.
I don't know.
Mentioning the end of the blackout, recently it's being celebrated the 4th year.
Yeah, celebrated. There's people like, yes, 4 years gone.
Celebrated is probably the wrong word.
God but, for that. 4 years.
Reminisced, maybe? That's been the 4th year.
Time has passed. Stuff's happened.
It's been four years since the last tour, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying making your job difficult.
Yeah, it's a mixture. For me, it's a mixture of, it feels like maybe a different life ago.
Yeah.
And it might have never happened. And then there's bits of it that feel like it might have been yesterday. So it's very, very strange in my head.
Yeah. And obviously we've had Sean's thoughts and everything on it. And Gavin's come on and said a little bit. But what's been your kind of reaction to the last 4 years and just reminiscing on that last tour and final show in Merthyr?
So, it was hard work, that tour, emotionally wise. Particularly the last gig was that I managed to kind of cognitively like reframe it and just kind of like postpone the inevitable until basically the last song of the last set, where I was like, there's no escape now. This is it. I'll never do this again, you know? And that's when it kind of hit me like a tidal wave. I'm really, really sad about the fact that it finished. But I'm really, really happy about the manner in which it finished. So, like, to draw it all full circle, to do that tour in the manner that it was, and for that to be triumphant, and for have it to end in the manner it did in the hometown, like, bringing it all right back to, like, where it started, I think was amazing. And like the Coco show and that on that tour was absolutely mind blowing as well. And that was a great way to like say goodbye to London as well, because London had always been such an amazing place. And we kind of hit all the places that had always been like those.
Yeah.
Those like we did Glasgow, Birmingham, Manchester, London, and Cardiff. I think, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so.
So they were like always our like.
Sadly, we didn't get to go to Ireland, which would have been fantastic.
No, we didn't. Yeah, that just couldn't logistically. That just wasn't happening. And I think we did have it kind of like because we were starting to sort of migrate to different things as well. It had to like fit in a
certain schedule.
Yeah, so that just it got in that we couldn't do that, and we couldn't do Europe and things like that, because I know there were like places in Germany that we would have loved to have gone back to. I think, yeah. And Holland and Belgium and stuff.
Well, you're talking to me. I would have toured the world forever with it.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Like Slayer are. Yeah. Last tour in this particular stadium. Last tour of Monday. Last ever gig. All right, Slayer, wrap it up, boys. We've seen fire and metal.
Spinning pentagrams.
Yeah, don't tell Kerry King I said that. You'll kill me. He might kill me anyway.
Hang on, you've brought this up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's triggered. Yes.
There is I always remember the photo of you and Kerry King, and you passed out on the floor.
It's not really a photo of me and Kerry King, is it? It's a photo of Kerry King and some waste on the floor.
At the Kerrang Awards, I believe.
Kerrang Awards, 2006, I think.
Our first ever Kerrang Awards.
Well, yeah.
Free bar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I was going to say, talk to us about that photo and the first time you were aware of that photo.
Yeah, because yeah, I'll talk about that because it's such a vivid memory for me, because I was so clearly in control of my faculties, wasn't I? Well, and my sick.
That's what I was thinking, because you obviously weren't aware that the photo was being taken. So when did you find out that the photo was a thing? And like, oh, that's me with Kerry King.
So, so that night, went to the Kerrang Awards, free bar. Very little food in James Davis's stomach that day. I can't even remember why. And then an unnecessary cocktail of all the various things that ruin nights anyway on their own. Sambuca, tequila, things that you're like, oh, the night's going really, really well. Let's drink this and fuck it up. Brilliant idea. It's 10:30. Oh, it's rubbish now as well. And I'm poorer. And my mouth's sticky. So that happens. Buff, 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 buff. And I was like, oh, I'm going to die. So I went to the toilet for a sick. And I had a big sick in the toilet, and then I had a bit of sleep in the toilet, probably in my sick. To which the point where a bloke, security, bouncer, knocked on the door and was like, get up. And the point where I was like so completely done, I was like, all right, mate, thank you. Like, I thanked him for, you ejected me from the place. It's probably for the best that you do. So let's, yeah, take me outside. So he took me outside and put me on the floor like the bin bag I was.
Mm.
For some reason, I got put in an ambulance. This is not required, right? So I got put in an ambulance, like sat up in an ambulance, like in a wheelchair, I think, as well, actually. I was like, I was fucking steaming, but I wasn't ambulance steaming.
Yeah.
Good band.
Good band.
And so I went to the hospital where they were like, what's the matter? And I was like, I'm just drunk as fuck. I don't know why I'm here, to be honest. And they were like, well, do you need your stomach pump? I was like, no, you can, you know, I was like, no, but fine. And they were like, we'll just go over there then. So I went somewhere. I suddenly realized I needed to be sick. I went to a sink and I was sick. And you know when you're sick and you get the toxins out of you, and I wasn't, you know, I was still ruined, but I was like, I'm all right, give me a glass of water and we'll leave. So we got out, and then I woke up in just a girl's bedroom. There was no girl, just a girl's bedroom. So I was so disorientated and confused that I just woke up and I was like, maybe I'm a girl now. maybe that's my future. Maybe I've drunk myself into a parallel universe.
I've just got an image of you waking up and there's like My Little Pony and Powerpuff Girls.
I mean, it wasn't like, that, yeah, but it was clearly a girl. Everywhere. It was, okay. Yeah, it was clearly a girl's bedroom. Okay. You know, there was enough girl shit around to suggest that it was not my bedroom.
Girl shit.
I know.
Sick of it.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a controversial statement. So that was that. And then I remember it being, somebody's like, oh, someone took a photo of you and Kerry King. It was amazing. He stood over you. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Okay, fine. And then it was Emma, I think.
Yeah, Emma Van Dyke.
Van Dyke. And she was like, that photo of you is amazing. He's like, so she was like, yeah, I've sent it to everybody. It's Mastodon's tour manager's desktop. They were all really worried about you. And I was like, well, that's excellent news. So tell Mastodon I said thank you.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so it did the rounds, apparently. It was something of a legendary image.
Yeah, we'll have to put it on our socials
Definitely, yeah. They'll definitely.
He's got an alcohol abuse, like, rehab centre t-shirt on as well, Kerry King.
And his Kerrang Award. Yes.
And his Kerrang Award.
Yeah.
So he's using me for a prop. I feel a bit violated by it, but, you know, what am I going to do? He'll just stamp me into the ground.
That was the same day that Reece spent 20 minutes talking to Liam Howlett from Prodigy before realising...
It was Liam Howlett from
Prodigy. It was Liam Howlett from Prodigy, yeah. Who was his favourite band.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Well, if they're his favourite band, shouldn't you have known that?
You'd think that,
but the problem is with Reece, he was nearly as blind as a bat at one point before he had laser surgery.
This is true, actually, yeah.
So he didn't have his glasses on, and he was drunk, and Snoz was talking to Liam Howlett, and Reece was just standing there, being the drunk maniac he is.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's been brilliant moments like that throughout the career. I had a photo with the drummer from Fall Out Boy that neither of us wanted. It was just like, I was talking to one of the photographers from Kerrang, and he just corralled me and him into it, and we were like, alright mate, yeah, not bad, alright, cool. Then we had a photo and we were like,
right,
exactly, we just were like, myself. Bye then. And I also I confused Rob Flynn by turning him 180 degrees.
Rob Flynn from Machine Head.
Rob Flynn from Machine Head.
Yeah, that was good.
He was walking through the place, and he kind of just sort of went past me, you know, so I wanted to catch him, so I kind of just sort of like tapped him on the shoulder or grabbed him. I was like, oh Rob, sorry to stop you mate. I just want to say, I think, you know, I'm a big fan, and I think the Black Men is an amazing album, and I'm just amazing. Oh, thanks man. And then I kind of walked off, just turned around and looked, and I realized that he did like a full 360 where he's like, where am I, what year is this? So me just turning him like back where he just come from was enough for him to be like, well,
he's stumped.
Yeah, could be anywhere, that thing.
I don't know where I am though.
Yeah, and that was where he was in the hotel in the after party, and everybody went to bed, and then we got back up at like 6:30 in the morning, and he was just there at the bar on his own, just like having his own, like the Rob Flynn after party.
Nice.
For Rob Flynn and nobody else.
Do you know, that doesn't really surprise me, because he's a bit like that.
He's a good dude, though, in my experience. Yes. I don't know what it's like to be in a band with him. He seems to have lost, like, they're doing Burn My Eyes. I'm just doing Machine Head promo now. They're doing Burn My Eyes in full with, like, the original lineup as well. It's 25 years since that came out. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's what to do with me.
I'm trying to think of any other... Because people love these stories about us meeting people that we shouldn't have been allowed near.
Hmm.
Who else do we have that was surprisingly nice? Or a knob. Ooh, oh, yes, here's a good one, because you can answer it.
All right.
Who's the biggest knobs that you come across? As I don't know whether you heard, but I did have a go of Hollywood Undead.
Oh, they were bellends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them were.
So, yeah, oh yeah, that's fair. Yeah, it's not fair to be that they were all, but certain members of that particular touring party were cockbags.
Yeah.
I didn't really see eye to eye with a couple of Set Your Goals.
Oh, I forgot about, yeah.
We did a tour with You Me at Six, who we all know are lovely chaps, mm-hmm. to a man. And we kind of got added to it relatively late on in the kind of thing. I think that the lineup had sort of been arranged, and then it was a bit of a kind of like, oh, it'd be great if we could tour with you. And then You Me at Six was sort of thinking, well, you wouldn't though, would you? Thinking that we wouldn't, like, you know, we wouldn't like stoop to being like support because we've been around longer. We're like, no, we'd love to tour with you. You're clearly a bigger band than us. Crack on.
We've called you a bluff.
I was going to say, yeah. Yeah. Nice try, suckers. So we got added on to it. And I don't know whether or not that was like a bone of contention, and maybe Set Your Goals had like, so the lineup was then Canterbury, Set Your Goals, us, and You Me at Six. Hmm. And so I don't know whether or not it was a sense that maybe like the original like negotiation of the contract was that maybe that they were guaranteed like main support or something like that. But two of them, the two members of Set Your Goals, I won't be like it was that one and that one, but like two members were pretty hostile throughout, and one was pretty unpleasant. And I went into it with the, kind of like the best intentions, and I sort of said hello on the first day, and he just basically ignored me. I was like, hey man, it's nice to be on tour with you. And he was like, yeah. And I went, oh. And then it all kind of like transpired that maybe there was some bad blood like that. But we weren't like, hey, let's get on the You Me at Six tour so we can fuck off Set Your Goals. You know, it was just like an opportunity that came up, and then we thought about it after. And like, it was just one of those things, I guess. Like, I wouldn't be like, so, but that was a bit unfortunate.
Yeah.
It didn't make the experience 100%, because the tour was still rad, but it was just tinged a little bit with kind of like,
Yeah, that was the tour. That was the tour where I lost my pass on the first day.
That's right. Yeah.
And then You Me at Six tour manager tried to charge me £50 for it and wanted me to apologise to him.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
All right, I'll just text Josh to see if he'll put me on the guest list every day. I'll walk through the crowd when we're on. Get somebody to throw me the mic. I'll do it from the crowd. Don't bother me.
Yeah. Good times.
What about surprisingly nice people? I've done Duff. My head's been firmly in Duff's bottom on this podcast.
Yeah, with good reason. He was stupendous. Surprisingly nice. To be honest, like 99% of people have been surprisingly nice. You've talked about Pharrell.
Oh yeah,
that was staggering.
That was a mad story. To be fair,
yeah,
mind blowing.
I mean, like all of Paramore are lovely. But that's not surprising.
No.
I mean,
Linkin Park were nice.
They were. They were absolutely lovely.
Trying to think of any other big band. Limp Bizkit were really nice.
They're probably the most surprisingly nice people.
Yeah, but this is what I found out since, but due to this podcast, because I know that people have worked for them have got in touch with me, saying that it's very rare that they were ever that nice and accommodating to support bands. But I think that's because we went into it kind of being massive fans and saying yes, we'll do it, because I think we were set to take a big hit doing that tour.
We did, yeah. I mean, we still took a loss. We made it work. We played some shows. This is how stupid we were in, but this is why we split up, because we do stupid shit like this. We sorted out a bunch of like UK shows to basically offset the loss, because we were like, we have to do this.
Yeah,
we can't.
It's too good.
We had an email
off our agent Sean Goulding saying, would you like to do the Limp Bizkit tour in Europe?
And we were like, yes. And then we were like, how the fuck are we going to do this? So I feel like that, yeah, I think we kind of like, that was a really cool tour, because I felt like we kind of like brought the best out in one another as well, because we were so stoked to be on that tour. And I think Limp Bizkit felt a bit like energized to not have like some cynical new band, because I imagine there's probably quite a like generational disconnect where you've got new bands be like, oh, we're playing with Limp Bizkit because there's loads of fans, but we're like, you know, we don't really want to make it look as if we like Limp Bizkit, because it's that sort of like, they'd be kind of something of a, you know, I don't know, like a parody in certain circles maybe. Yeah. But we were just so genuinely
chuffed.
Like, yeah, just like absolutely like psyched to be there. And it just kind of came across, I think. So it kind of made everything better. That was cool. That was good fun.
Remember asking Sam Rivers why they weren't playing the song Pollution?
I don't remember his response. I remember Fred's.
I don't know when.
Fred talked about the records.
Oh, no, no, yeah, that's a different thing. No. Someone said to Sam, oh, why didn't you play Pollution? Another time we were playing Spread Legs Not Lies, and he was like, you're already playing it. Because our song Spread Legs Not Lies sounds a little bit like Pollution.
It wasn't consciously ripped off.
No.
But it was ripped off. Turns out. But yeah, that was cool. Yeah, they were.
And then the original writers of it heard it and...
And they were like, oh!
Yeah, you carry on playing it.
You have that one then, boys. We don't need it.
Yeah, what Fred explained. The Fred story was, why didn't... Like we were saying, why didn't you play more off?
Why didn't you play anything off $3 bill? And he was like, we've sold 100 million records. And we were like, oh, babes.
Yeah.
And he was like, we've only sold like... 13 million a $3 bill, and like, oh yeah, it must be terrible. It must be arse work for you, buddy. Anyway, well, fair hard enough time, you carry on playing off the record that sold 70 million records. Songs that's got the World Trade Center in the video and Tom Cruise and stuff. Play M. Fred, it'll be fine in the end, but you'll make it.
And he did, so
then he's fine. He's stronger than ever.
Frederick Durst,
yeah,
got more red caps than you can ever need.
One.
No, I think he's got a closet full. He's
no, I mean him. One is more than I could ever need.
Oh, right, okay. I just imagine
You're not really a hat type chap, really.
No, well, I wore a baseball cap quite a lot and then my hair fell out.
So what you've done is...
Science.
Yeah, but surely now more than ever you'd want a baseball cap.
More than ever. Because now I've got a tiny little pea head.
Oh, you have, yeah.
Yeah, and so all hats dwarf me, so I look like a Lego man. You know,
yeah, you don't want the ears inside a hat.
You don't want the ears inside a hat. You don't want a child's hat. Yeah, you don't want you don't want the Welsh valleys perched on top. Oh, what?
Yeah, no, yeah.
I love that, right? Across all of Britain, we've all got chavs and they've all kind of got that eye pitched. Oh, make a lot of noise, like.
Yeah, exactly.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all variations on the theme, like.
It just comes with the culture.
So, what do you hope for the new band, for the Raiders?
Two things. I want an outlet to be able to play, write some songs, get out there and play some gigs, which has been so much fun.
Yeah.
Just doing shows, like properly taking it back to basics. Can't lose it. It's cursed by bassists. Properly taking it back to basics.
Oh, it's been fantastic doing shows, like just any shows. That's the thing. It's like
what I love about it as well is like all the extraneous stuff has just been like ripped away from it. So it's just the gig. It's like the gigs that you used to start when you just used to drive there in your car, take your guitar, your cable. My leads are in a rucksack. like, I've got my pedalboard in my head, don't take a cab, you know. It's like, it's such an opposite thing to being like, where's the production draws? Are there 575,000 picks? Do we have batteries to last us, you know, a nuclear winter? Like, all this kind of stuff. And then going back to, like, I'll probably string my guitar for the next gig. It's been 3 gigs and it's getting a bit dull. Like, it's just like that proper, like,
going back to the basics, really. In yeah,
just grassroots.
It and that's really, really fun. So that's the one thing I want, is like that kind of, like, that outlet to be able to do that and for it to grow to whatever thing. And the other thing I want is a solid gold helicopter.
Okay,
which makes sense.
It does make sense.
I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, and you think about how powerful it's got to be to lift solid gold off the ground in order for that to get, like, upward lift. So it's going to be powerful helicopter.
I wonder if Matthew could fly you.
Matthew could fly anything now. He told me. Yeah.
He knows every pilot in the world.
He does know every pilot in the world now. He's been to the meet and greet.
But with that now, do you think it's just going to be for you guys just to release everything on your own time and just not for now and just put songs out
for now, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless a label comes in and offers a ridiculous amount of money and says you can still keep
It's whatever happens. I mean, it's at the moment, I mean, I've got 18 months left of what I'm doing with my PhD, which I have to do, you know, like I can't just walk away from it at this point. Like, nah, I'll be right. So, like, it fits around the commitments that we've got as a realistic
thing. The commitments are playing.
Yeah, we're getting them to support us all the time. Oh, cool. So it'll fit into all of that kind of stuff, and it will kind of become whatever it becomes. Really, it's nice to have the flexibility of it not being, the pressure's not on this. You know, this has to be, you know, make it as a certain thing, or it has to become a certain thing. And like with that, I think becomes a certain flexibility with regards to how we present things. You know, how we release stuff. Like, it's not necessarily that we were doing an album anyway, but if we decide that we're just going to go down the route of just like song here, song there, show, like the shows can fit. That's why festivals will be such a great way to kind of spread it around, you know, and kind of get into that kind of, like, that's such a good rhythm to get into, to just have that whole summer period of, like, you can just go out on a weekend, play a show, see a bunch of cool mates that are still in, you know, that are still in bands that you haven't seen for years. That'll be amazing. That, like, that whole side
of it. That's what I'm finding with this now, like, either with the podcast or with the band, is that I'm seeing people again I haven't seen for ages.
And
normally before every one of these, I normally have like a slight anxiety about, you know, because anything could happen. Like you could start fighting Morgan now.
I could. I might.
And I know.
It depends how many more difficult questions you ask me that I have to dissect.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, and I'll gladly help you.
What's this? A handicap match now? What's going on? Why is there so much hate towards me in this podcast?
Well, go back, listen to the podcast, and you'll find out.
Quite a few.
Proofread yourself.
What were we talking about before we remember destroying Morgan?
It doesn't matter, does it? Is there anything else important at this point?
You were saying about anxiety.
It was a really serious point.
Yeah, it was a serious point I was trying to make. Fine. Derailed myself. I've had anxiety about meeting people, but it's everyone so far has been great, and yeah, it's just given me love for it all again. Like, I just missed it. Like, it was just strange.
Yeah. Did you feel like you fell like out of the loop?
Oh yeah, completely.
Yeah, like, I did the same. Didn't go to gigs for like two or 3 years. Couldn't.
I haven't really left my house that much, to be honest.
You know what I mean?
Like, all my friends, like, I'd get friends going, "Oh, are you coming out?" And I'd be like, "Nah, I'm good. I'm just saying it." Like, I haven't been to many gigs, and like, it's only now through this and through the band again that I'm getting to go to more gigs and
same
see new music and enjoy new music. But also see friends from the past that I thought wouldn't give a shit anymore. Or
yeah, I think that's linked into what I was talking about with the you know, when it felt really great to have like the kind of positive response from like the industry people that have been like supportive of us for such a long time. Because you do think that a lot of the time, particularly when like things were going well and you were like, you know, you had like a sort of a profile and like a buzz around you, you would get a lot of people that were like hangers on, and you would feel a certain degree of like insincerity from certain people, and then. Which is I understand why that is, but like it's a little bit unfortunate to experience it, and then to then find those people who aren't like that and are like legitimately like genuine and like were really like that was what they thought, you know, like that's awesome, and it's so humbling to feel that. And then I've almost like I've kind of enjoyed it through you listening to the other episodes. That kind of I'm having the same experience of like, oh, they're all so cool, hey, they're all still mates, that's awesome. because same kind of thing, like you do the two, like tours are such a weird, like artificial, like environment to be in as well.
Yeah.
So you'll be pushed together with some people that you've never met before, and then within the space of like 2 or 3 weeks you can become like the best mates with people. And I remember Warped Tour, we left Warped Tour, and we the entire time we've been there we've been talking to Chris Lent,
yes,
of From First to Last.
Yeah, and he was keyboards in From First to Last that time.
No, and he was in I Set My Friends on Fire.
Oh, I Set My Friends on Fire as well.
And we'd spent the entire time we were on Warped Tour trying to give Chris Lent the Welsh nickname Lenty.
Okay.
Because it's just, all you do is you just put a Y on the end of whoever's name, and it's a Welsh nickname, isn't it? So we just kept calling him Lenty, to the point where by like the last couple of days, like they were like American people on Warped Tour, like, yeah, I haven't seen Lenty. And we're like, yes, got you. And I remember like saying goodbye to him, and we were both kind of like, oh, you know, you kind of do that, like, oh, it's been awesome, man, it's been cool, you know, you'll see you soon or whatever. And you were both kind of like, you could see it in each other's eyes, like, probably never going to see each other again.
It's mad.
And it's just such a weird, like, artificial thing. We were like, and that's been absolutely amazing. We've seen each other literally all day, every day for 3 weeks. Goodbye forever! And
it's a bit like when you used to go on holiday as a kid with your family or whatever, and you'd, like, meet Welsh people in Spain. Like, you'd be in Fengarola, and, like, your dad's met somebody from Pont de Prydd, and then you're like, oh my god, my dad's best friends are the man from 15 miles away now for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I've got to hang out with our family for 2 weeks, and then at the end of that, then like, alright, see you again. Here's my MSN address. Let's chat on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a strange one.
That's I can imagine as well, when you're in those, like, a closed space with people for that amount of time, you either get best friends or you absolutely hate each other in some aspects.
I mean, yeah, everything gets amplified. Like, all the... So, like, things that if you were just, like... If you could...
Sorry, I just hit the table.
That was... Someone's order's ready. It's the two extremes, you know? So, like, you either... Stuff that would, in normal life, would just be, like, mildly... Oh, I kind of wish he wasn't doing that. Become, like... You know, they burrow into your mind. You're like, fuck's sake, stop it! And then... So then the positive thing of being like, you know, you just like, you kind of get on with people. But then if you're pushed in and it's like a positive thing, you're like, oh, you do this again today, and again today, and again today. That's amazing. And so, yeah, it all kind of, everything's like, it's like hyper real. It's like everything's just like amplified. So like, you've experienced everything to its like absolute degree, and then it like finishes. So like, if it's not positive... You talked about Versa Emerge on this when it comes to dickheads. Somebody has,
yeah, yeah, Gavin. Yeah. Gavin brought her up, I think.
Gavin brought That's up right. the drummer, yeah, not, just yeah. Yeah. not yeah. washing for 3 weeks. I think he got kicked out not long after that, though.
Good.
as you should.
He deserved nothing less. That it's like that thing is like, I didn't get on with him, and it was just like that got amplified. He was like, fuck this dude, because it's like, you know, I also found that
on something like Warped Tour, there's so many things for you to go and do that if it was somebody you didn't like, you could just walk away and find something else to...
Yeah, Warped Tour has Warped Tour's bubble is a lot bigger bubble than it is if you've got three bands on a bill. And definitely agree with that 100%.
But we were quite lucky really that we didn't really take many knobheads out really, or even tour with that many dickheads, I don't think. Like,
no.
We had the Hollywood Undead thing where they'd never been at anything but a headline band, and they came on and thought they were a headline band and acted like one, and then got put in a place by our managers and stuff.
It's funny actually thinking about that is a lot of the bands that we've mentioned that have been dickheads were actually like lower than us on the bill,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, you find that,
like, you find, like, for example, My Chemical Romance, amazing. Linkin Park, amazing. Limp Bizkit, amazing. You know, bands that if they wanted to be complete cocks.
Billy Talent. Were fantastic to us.
Absolutely lovely.
We turned up at the first gig we did with them in Paris. And we had a dressing room of Six Waters or whatever. And that was the first ever Kerrang cover we had. Because Billy Talent came in with one of their two massive pizzas, give us a pizza and said congratulations on the cover.
That's right.
Oh, that's nice.
Lovely, yeah. Lovely chat.
They were awesome. Fun fact for guitar nerds, that Ian from Billy Talent has possibly the best live guitar sound I've ever heard, and he sounds exactly like he does on the record.
Nice.
But it's live. It's...
Yeah. Remember we did Rock and Ring, and it was some girls, like... We were backstage.
Are they giggling?
At the after party, and it was a girl who was like renowned for like trying to crack on with boys in bands.
Right.
And
okay.
We were standing there talking to Billy Talent, who had literally just Were they headline or like co-headline?
They were way up there.
Paid to like 100,000 people on the main stage. And then next minute, we're in the after show party and we're just talking to like Ben from Billy Talent. And all of a sudden, just comes past us, says, like, what the hell is that? Ian from Billy Talent is being chased around the backstage bit by a girl trying to get his attention.
It's like a playground, wasn't it? Like a school disco. It's like, girls!
She's trying to talk to me.
Yeah,
it was brilliant. Yeah. They were adorable. They were so nice. They were very Canadian, which means lovely.
Yeah. Not a bad Canadian, though, I don't think. Never met a bad Canadian. No. I think they're all told as they leave Canada, right, you be fucking nice to everybody you meet. No, you shits.
Yeah, but surely they would say that in a nice way if they were Canadian.
Alrighty.
No, but that's Canadians talking to Canadians, isn't it? So basically, they go in, look, if you fucking leave this country, you better be nice to everyone because we want a reputation for all of us being nice, right?
But then they'd make an apology about being mean to each other.
I'm sorry that I have had to say this in this temperament. If I don't say it in this temperament, you won't realise how important it is that you're nice to
everybody. You go out there, eh, and you make a good job of it. Alright, sorry for offending you. You get out there.
There you go.
Brilliant.
A terrible Canadian accent which dipped into Scottish or possibly Irish.
Did we do Canada? Yeah, we did Canada on Warp Tour, didn't we? Did Montreal and it pissed down. I'm sure we were one of the only bands who would play in the rain.
Oh, that was Remember Canada, that? Wasn't it? That was disgusting. It was like a foot of water. Probably shouldn't have in retrospect.
Yeah, well, we got cut off after 15 minutes because Matthew's amp had broke. But
yeah.
I'm sure we were the only band on any of the stages.
There were a fair few people that were sacking it off, and in retrospect, I think I probably should have done the same. But
oh yeah, we all should have done the same. But just that vibe of us being fuck it, we'll be the we don't care. Oh, this is Merthyr Tydfil weather to us. Whatever, we'll play in this mud.
It was grim.
Oh,
but like Canada's great.
Yeah,
but that particular area of Canada, that particular day was a bit soggy.
Yeah, were you involved in the car crash on Warped Tour?
Car crash. That suggests that I wasn't.
Matt,
if he does, he doesn't remember it.
Perhaps hit him so hard he doesn't remember.
Yeah. I fell on my face and scraped my face off, and Frank Carter loved it.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, go on. Explain that one, and I'll go back to the other one.
Yeah, because that's got a completely sensible start. That, you know, so I'm not going to give any context. I'm just going to explain this.
Yeah, go on.
As an advanced training and fitness program, Rhys suggested that every day we try and put him in a bin.
Forgot about this.
So
Madman Rhys Lewis wanted to be. Yeah,
I'm not telling you what. That's it. That's all I'm giving you. Oh, so as a high profile, high octane training regime, Rhys Lewis suggested that every given opportunity we try and put him in a bin, very much in a kind of, you know, Pink Panther Kato sort of thing. You know.
Okay.
So we resolved to put him in a bin one day on one of these sort of like outdoor amphitheaters that they use, you know, on like the Warped Tour. Like you see a lot of American shows and things. So in order, obviously, Rhys Lewis was somewhat reticent to be put in said bin. That was essentially the crux of the training regime, was his reticence to get into a bin needed to overwhelm our desire to put him in said bin.
Yep.
This was a short-lived training regime, by the way. This was maybe 3 or 4 days. But bear in mind that 3 or 4 days we persisted in trying to get the boy in a bin. And on this, so on this day, we, you know, these amphitheaters, like kind of like shallow sort of like, they're shallow banked enough that they're not steps. They're just like ramps.
Yeah.
So we were chasing Mr. Rhys Lewis at high speed down a ramp, at which point I did that thing that children do, because I was so excited at the prospect of being able to be party to put in Rhys in a bin, that I ran faster than my legs work, you know, like kids do.
Yeah.
And I stopped my fall the only way I knew how, which was with my face. And I went face forward so fast on this ramp, which was like gravel. Ooh. And I just slid on the gravel and basically like scuffed my entire front.
It was really nasty.
It was horrendous, but Frank Carter enjoyed it immensely. So much so he got up on a fence and kicked it.
Yeah.
He
laughed so hard, he teleported.
He did. He loved it.
He moved to a higher
place. He was like, that's the best thing I've ever seen. I was like, thanks, Frank. My face is bleeding. I'm going to have a lie down. And so, yeah, so I had scabs basically like on all the kind of contact patches of my front.
Oh, nice.
You know, elbow, like my chin, my knees.
You literally looked like you'd been thrown out of a moving vehicle. Onto your front. The other story I was on about was, I think Matthew...
Was that not even the story you wanted me to tell?
No, but I'm on about the car crash one.
Right.
It was not much of a car crash. I think Matthew and Snoz, or somebody, I thought it was you, but I'd gone to a guitar centre and got hit by a bus, like in the taxi.
Yeah. I was in that car. Yeah, I was wearing my red jumper, wasn't I?
Ah, you had your red jumper.
Yes.
That was Philadelphia, wasn't it?
It was
Philly because we were told not to leave the festival grounds.
Yeah, there were a few towns that were like, nah, man, don't go there. You get filmed if you go there. And that was one of them. The bus just literally went clomp and just hit the cab. Yeah, I was there. I'd completely forgotten about that.
There you go.
I did say he'd forget about it if he was. So,
what?
Let's round that up.
What are you talking about?
I said earlier, if you were involved with it, you would have forgotten about it. So you did forget about it.
Why would I have forgotten about it if I'd been involved with it, though? It doesn't make any sense.
Sorry.
Well, no, don't be sorry. Just be right in future.
Oh,
be more constructive with your feedback.
Morg, you're like, he's only F01. Jesus.
This has been terrible for me.
Yeah, so where can people find you on social media, James? Not that you probably want people to follow you.
I'd love people to follow me, but they might not like it.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm on Twitter at Bob Got Bored, because I did have Bob the Fury, and then I left Twitter in a fury, and then I got bored, so I came back as Bob Got Bored.
Oh.
That's the origin story of all those. There will be, at least now you can start seeing things about Raiders being mentioned and not just my hilarious observations about things and me complaining about the state of the world.
Yeah, well, I think we've got to mention briefly about your angry tweets. We have brought this up in previous episodes. You get quite angry on Twitter.
It's not just Twitter, though, is it? It's like...
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess I do. Particularly at the moment. I mean, Twitter's a cesspool, isn't it, these days? Of mostly terrible stuff, and then occasionally hilarious stuff, like the Pope not letting people kiss his hand.
Yeah, that was funny.
Which was absolutely splendid. I'm so happy that was one of my top five controversies of all time. Instantly, that is excellent. I've been known to have a rant from time to time. I think the most recent one was about popcorn in cinemas, and I stand by it.
Go on.
It's fucking bollocks.
Yeah.
Because, right, you go to a cinema, right, and then why is the staple food for cinema...
The loudest.
Literally the loud... Like, it's... The only characteristic of popcorn is volume. It's just a bag of volume. It's like... It doesn't really taste of anything.
Sometimes sweet, but it's a bag of volume.
No, but exactly. It only tastes of what you've covered it in.
Yeah.
Right? So you could just have... If you want butter, just have a bag of butter and it'll be quieter than popcorn. Oh. It's like, no, I want popcorn. It's like, how much popcorn do you want? Oh, I want a kilogram of popcorn, because that's how much you eat of anything at one time. And I want it in a bag that's at least as loud as the popcorn. So it's not even like, oh, I'll have a silent snack in a loud bag or a loud snack in a silent bag. It's just loud in a bag of loud, and then you're just expected to just graze on that the entire time you're in the thing. Meanwhile, you're in somewhere where everyone's trying to watch something. Why has it become the staple food for the cinema?
No idea, but I think I did see one of Young Guns responded to you with that.
Yeah, it's Fraser.
Yeah.
And I stand by that, and tell him to get fucked, because he was like, oh, I'm eating popcorn now. I was like, well, then you're a dickhead now, aren't you?
We should make it some sort of segment.
Well, are you?
Bob's weekly rant. Yeah, or monthly rant.
Angry
Ang Lee rants. I haven't got a problem with Ang Lee. He makes some good films.
Has there ever been a thing where you put something in the draft and gone, oh, that's been...
Yeah, my
I'm
draft.
Glad
I got draft
I'm
tweets.
Glad I didn't tweet that. I mean, oof.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff in my draft that I've just kind of just... I've just shit out all, because I'm just like, it's just not worth making a fuss about. It just makes me sound... I'm a petty bastard anyway, but it just makes me sound even more petty than I actually am, which is astronomically petty. So there's been a bunch of stuff where I'm just like, I don't even worry about it. But there's a bunch of stuff that I've just ranted about that I'm like, yeah, I do feel that angry about it, Vines, and I do stand by. And there's not much stuff that I've got. I probably, if I went back to like 10 years ago or something, I imagine everyone's the same way. If you went back and looked at your tweets from 10 years ago, you'd be like,
oh, I dread to think. Yeah. I dread to think. If somebody goes back.
Thing is, though, in a lot of ways, though, if you went back and looked at Twitter from like 10 years ago, it would be such a lovely place compared to what it is now.
Yeah, probably.
It was just loads of people just be like, oh, let's change all this.
Talking in the third person, like,
yeah.
I was posting tweets like, is in the bath.
Yeah.
So it would look like fake Sean. Yeah. Sean Smith sucks is in the bath.
And there'd be like loads of like those trending topics where you change like a movie like word or something to make some silly like thing. And it was just like, it was way more like innocent and like positive, and it isn't what it is now, which is just, it's all sort of just been polarized out into like horrible rhetoric of people, completely just like people just trying to get viral memes
and
promotions, basically. Yeah.
But I don't. I have an Instagram that is basically inactive, but maybe I will get it fired up again at some point if I can remember it. Find a postcode. Where's the postcode for this? I'm 100 years old. I don't have a Facebook, so.
Nice.
That's it, really.
What about band stuff?
Raiders Band UK on the old Twitter.
And the Instagram.
And the Instagrams.
Nice.
Is where you can find that.
Oh, wait, I just thought of a recent Bob. What's the word? Miserable bit.
Uh-huh.
About us deserving dogs. Can you set that up and go through it, please?
Sure.
Because I completely agree.
Okay, well, so. It's this element of dog culture which is now becoming more and more pervasive. I haven't got a problem with dogs. Dogs are cool, right?
Yeah.
What I do have a problem with is the absolute incessant, like, oh, look at this dog. It's like literally footage of a dog doing dog shit. I don't mean taking a shit, although it could even be that. But it's just a dog going, you can't see this because it's a microphone, but I'm doing an impression of a dog. Right? You know, they just do something simple, like maybe they run around a gate or they put their head in a bowl of water or whatever. And, like, at the time, if you were there, you'd be like, ah, nah, that's cool. That dog's having a laugh, mind. Cool. But now this is now licensed to film it and get 975,000 views and a billion likes and retweets of a dog doing the same shit that all other dogs do. And then 500,000 columns of comments about people going things like, oh, we don't deserve dogs. We absolutely deserve dogs because we bred dogs and domesticated them from wild wolves. So if we didn't deserve dogs, you'd all have wolves and you'd be trying to make them do stuff with frisbees. See how that goes.
I love it.
So, again, I haven't got a problem with dog. If you like dogs, if you love dogs, good on you. But shut the fuck up about it for 5 minutes.
Well, I think there you go.
I think that's the perfect way to end this.
This event.
Yeah. So, in conclusion, go listen to Raiders, Wasted Away. It's available now.
It's good. It is very good. It's a mixture of riffs, misery. Well, yep. That's it. Riffs and misery.
Rivery.
Miffery.
We'll work on that.
Muffery. No, ooh, too far.
But you're a little bit biased because you are in the band as well.
I'm not in the band.
Are you not? Oh, no. That's a bombshell.
Yeah, I've just quit. No. I'm very much in the band. Yeah, check it out. Wasting Away on Spotify.
It'll be on YouTube as well, which I think is also Raiders Band UK.
Hopefully, yeah.
Something like that. I think we snapped them all up under the same thing.
But yeah, if you have a look for Raiders and the song title is called Wasting Away, that's our first venture into music so far, so please check it out.
That would be lovely.
That would be fantastic. James, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
It's been fantastic. We should do another 10 of them.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
No worries.
I've had a top
anytime.
Laugh, and I will, yeah, I'd be happy to come
I'm
on.
I'm sure
again.
People will listen to this one and be like, you should get him on more often. So maybe we'll work something out where you can, if you come up with something that you ate or you've been miffed by lately.
Yeah.
You can have Bob's miffed corner.
Yeah, I'd love a segment with it.
I miffed think off with James Davis.
Not a parading monkey, boys. Maybe that's my first one. Is how angry I am to be doing a segment.
Yeah. Like
a
I can't believe
I got rid of this shit. It's so fucking demeaning. Anyway, see you next week.
Yeah. The only way I can get on the podcast is if I'm miserable or something. I fucking hate it.
I've had to stand on plugs every morning. I'm start thinking about things.
Anyway, thank you very much. Yeah, check out Wasting Away by Raiders. Tidy! Something!
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 Oh, there's a bit of echo on that then. And there's a squeak of a chair that sounded like a fart.
Is this all in as well?
Yeah, probably.
Tidy.
You're listening to Sapling Podcast! That was James Richard Davis, Bob, formerly of The Blackout, currently of Raiders fame.
Talking about the brand new song by Raiders.
Called Wasting Away.
That is out now.
Yes, it is. Available on all good streaming websites, I believe.
Just like this podcast. So as soon as you finish listening to this, you can go and mosh. Can they mosh to it, Sean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're allowing them to mosh.
Yeah, you headband? Can mosh it. Yeah, they're going to headband, but be careful.
Can they floss to it?
Yeah.
Any
dance you want to it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm all up for a
floss. The Running Man?
Yeah, the Running
Man.
The
Chicken?
The chicken.
I'm bringing out of dance names.
I know you are. I'm wondering where you're going to go with this. Yeah, all of them. Flossing. What's the other one? Dabbing. Yeah. Is that like a badding? No, dabbing. And the kids are doing nowadays. You can do that if you want. Yeah, it's a good song. Yeah, I like getting this out now. So definitely go check it out. Please share it. Like this podcast. Please share it. Rate and subscribe where possible.
Yeah, but again, a massive thank you for Bob to come on and talk all about it.
Yes.
And give some great insights back from his perspective of the blackout days.
Oh, we could have talked for hours.
Oh, we could have literally, yeah. And yeah, his slight hatred for, well, not hatred for dogs, but
yeah, it's not hatred for dogs. It's just, well, Bob's thing is with Bob, right? He's got a lot of anger in him, right? But it's mainly at people. It's not dogs. It's not dogs' fault.
No, no, it's the people's
fault for saying we don't deserve dogs. When
it's like all those tweets he said, adding his drafts and stuff. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Cool. Well, yeah, I really enjoyed that.
I'm quite glad he can take his anger out in riffs. That's probably benefited Raiders a lot as well.
Yes, it has benefited us a lot. He'll turn up in practice like, oh, I've got this new riff that makes me feel sick. And I'm like, that's perfect. That's exactly what we need. I want everybody to come away going, I'm happy, I'm sad, and I feel queasy as fuck. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
That'd be a good little review featured in one of the magazines. Raiders, make you feel queasy as fuck.
Yeah, queasy as fuck, my new debut album. Yeah, is there anything else?
Just again, if you'd like to help us out in any way, patreon.com/Sapmin. Head over there to really get some great benefits and stuff back for your support.
Yep.
And
we appreciate everybody that helps out in any way, shape or form. Even if you're not a patron and you just retweet us or like our stuff, we genuinely appreciate it. And yeah, it blows our minds. It's genuinely amazing.
Yeah, any little help, that's someone else, isn't it? Really means the world to us though, and everything we see really just warm our hearts. And yeah, it's just
my cold dead art. Yeah, sometimes I will be really sad and depressed and I will look at that Facebook group and it will bring me cheer and joy.
I don't know if you noticed, but we've used a lot of black heart emojis.
Yeah.
That's because that's actually Sean's heart.
It's a photo. It's not an emoji. It's a photo of my actual heart.
That's a photo of his actual heart. It's not us trying to be like emo or goth or anything. That's his actual organ.
Yeah.
So
my actual organ. Good band name. Morgan's actual organ. Oh, that's a good band name. Morgan's actual organ. Start a band name when you play keyboard.
What?
Morgan's actual
organ. Just me and the organ.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Morgan and the organ, isn't it?
I just thought you were going to go with Morgan and the organs, and then.
No.
Anyway, go check out Raiders. Go and listen to every other episode of this podcast. Nice. Go and check out the Patreon. And speaking of Patreon, we got to say a massive thank you to some patrons particular.
We need to thank the patrons of this episode. They are Emma Barber, Paul Hirschfield, Kylie Wheeler, Scarlett Charlton, Janelle Caston, Melissa O'Shea, John Price, medium size, Emily Snogles, I don't know if I've said that right, I'm sorry, Martina McManus, Mark Platten, Marcy Jacobson. It was her birthday this week. Happy birthday, Marcy.
It was.
You are fantastic. Lydia Henderson, Scott Jones, Jenny Robinson, Kieran Lewis, and Kelly Cannon. Thank you very much.
I think it's not Senegals, it's Senegals.
Senegals, is it?
Yes. I think she's mentioned this before. So, Emily, we're sorry.
Emily, get a second A in Senegals then.
Senegals.
Senegals.
Yes.
Fair play to Emily. She's had her worth, hasn't she, with that?
If you'd like us to butcher your name, patreon.com.
You've got a mad name that basic reading can probably help with, but not in our case. Check out patreon.com/sapnin.
We'll give it a good go. We might mess it up.
Oh, I hope people start signing up for the cheapest tier now with just putting in berserk names. That's what people could do. It's $3 a month. You could put any name you want in. It could be ridiculous.
We'll do it. We will do it.
I will literally do anything for money at this point. Anyway, moving on. But before I start sharing my prostitution website, we've got t-shirts for sale. They stop going on sale the 20th of April 2019 at 6 p.m. UK time.
Yes.
So check out sapnin-podcast.myshopify.com.
Or just head to our social media at SapninPod on Twitter and Instagram, and there should be links there. If not, just tweet us personally and we will send you
a link. What's your personal Twitter and Instagram, Morg? Quick.
Why are you @MHRichards_?
On both.
I'm really surprised that you've let me do this.
On Twitter, I'm @SeanSmithSucks. On Instagram, I'm @FakeSeanSmith, which is probably why I can't get verified.
That's probably why, yes.
And I've sent my passport and my driving license to Instagram a couple of times, and they've just gone, haha, still don't believe it's you.
If I can get verified before you,
I will murder you, then me. So don't do that, verification services of Twitter and Instagram. For God's sake, please. For my own. Anyway, let's go. This has gone on too
this
long.
This has gone mad. Thanks again, James. Go listen to the Raiders. Keep saying something.
Bob, his name is.
Bob, sorry. James, the Fury, whatever you want to call him. Thank you very much. Listen to Raiders. Listen to the podcast. Go back, share, put it everywhere you want. And yeah.
Never die. Ever.
Satman!
Oh, God.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.